Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Oh, yeah.
Season 142, episode 1. Ooh. It's a production of iHeartRadio, and this is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Ben Shapiro, fuck Mark Zuckerberg, fuck Jeff Bezos. Fuck ESPN.
Wow.
And fuck J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Fuck ESPN for making Woj apologize for telling Josh Hawley to go fuck himself.
Wait, well, the senator wanted the NBA players to back the blue on their jersey. What the fuck
back
did
the
this...
blue shit on... Yeah, in case people don't know, Woj, the NBA reporter, par excellence of NBA, you know, knowledge, info, dropping Woj bombs. Josh Hawley's office sent a message to ESPN being like, hey, you guys should, instead of putting Black Lives Matter on your jerseys, you should put back the blue. And Woj responded, simply, fuck you. And then ESPN made him apologize because they're owned by Disney, who we'll be talking about today again, as always. It's Monday, July 13th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Ooh, baby, would you look at that turf? J.K. Rowling is a fucking jerk. That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, man. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I unfortunately drank cold brew too early, and I forgot to look up an AKA, so I'm just going to go with the old school, the OG one I always started with. It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. your boy Kusama, the Blackanese experimental artist. Shout out to Yayoi Kusama. She's like every like trippy older Japanese woman I know is like style icon, or like they're all, everyone's doing a version of the yayoi.
Uh huh. I actually.
You're not familiar with the yayoi Kusama?
Huh, no, I'm not. I need to.
Every
need
time
to
he's like, it. Yeah, man, I love that AK. It's your boy
so
Kusama.
Good, man. So
does that got something to do with Kyle Kuzma? You've seen like those gigantic like pumpkins that are like yellow with like black dots on, or like any installation that has all these dots in a room and people like taking Instagram photos. A lot of those tend to be usually. Yeah.
Thank you for contextualizing it as an Instagram post. Yeah. Otherwise, I would not be able to.
Or what is art really?
Right. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Taz Ahmed.
Yay!
Yeah,
Taz.
What's up? I'm so excited to be here. I have adrenaline pumping from killing a mouse.
I know.
I'm ready.
With your bare hands, right in front of
you, caught it.
Just ripped it in half.
I turned on the Zoom just for that.
Like, oh, y'all don't think I'm about this life? Barehanded.
You've got beautiful art behind you, made by
I
you.
Do.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Snaps too for the art. You know, I say this, and I don't mean to come at our other guests, but some of our guests, the background, the wall is dry, blank, and I like the amount of. Mm-mm. You know, I like that. I like that. I like what I see back there, and some of it is your work too.
Yeah, I would say 60% is my work behind me.
Nice.
I'm actually always intimidated by how few of our guests have things or have blank walls behind them because I have such bad mise-en-scene in my Zoom that I have gone false background.
Mine looks like the feds like tried to flip my bedroom.
You have a piece of art behind you.
Yeah, there's something. I mean, look, if we really want to go out, the walls in this home are not bare. Okay, I respect the walls with art in this home.
We still have all our stuff in boxes. Because you never know. You can't have so many things that you can't drop and fight. Whatever Robert De Niro says in Heat. killer pop culture reference.
Fumbled at the one.
I mean, I like the fire background.
Yeah. I think it's appropriate.
It's a good reference.
Yeah.
Well. Taz, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Yeah.
First, we are going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We all watched Hamilton, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about Hamilton. Seems to be in the zeitgeist. We're going to talk about Bella Hadid having a post taken down for saying that her father's from Palestine.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
So... that just seems to be part of it. It's interesting what social media platforms are sensitive about. We also, the person who wrote my AKA today got kicked off of a platform for using the word redneck. So very sensitive about, we're very sensitive on these platforms about, you know, white supremacists and...
Yeah, and anyone actively involved in an apartheid state. But yeah, let's make sure we consider the feelings of everyone, okay?
Yes, we have diversity of thought.
I mean, how foolish of Bella Hadid to admit that her father was from a different place, and then that happened to be a place where... I can only imagine what happens, like, anyway, we'll get into how any of these things end up becoming hot posts that somehow the platform has to intervene in.
Bananas.
Yeah. All of that, plenty more. But first, Taz, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Well, I was doing a lot of Googling of Hamilton because we just watched Hamilton. Mm-hmm. But before that, I was looking up, I don't know if you know what betel leaves are or betel leaves in South Asian cultures called ban. And it's like this like leaf that is like full of either sugar or seeds or something. And there's like one of them makes you kind of high. I'm not sure. And then people eat it like after like their meal and they have like ban stalls all over the place. In Southeast Asia, they call it betel or betel, B-E-T-E-L leaf. Anyways, I've been doing a lot of Googling of that because I paint, as you can see. I'm going to do another series on these leaves. And I'm excited to learn more about it.
Are they legal in the U.S.? Because I know the U.S. likes to like ban a lot of like things like that. Well, I mean, it's obviously maybe the agricultural things, but is that something you can get in the United States or?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you can get anything now in the U.S. It is legal,
right.
But I think there is an like I think like a piece of a seed that you put in one of them, and it gets you high. So like when you go in South, because it like makes your spit red. So whenever you're in South Asia, you see all these like red spit spots all over on the streets, and that's because people are spitting out the bond spit.
Oh, that just happened on 90 Day Fiancé, where this woman thought there was blood. She was in India, and she thought there was blood on the floor, and the douche was like, no, no, they're just spitting shit out. Like, that's not blood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it is. That's the stuff you spit out. See? It comes from the bond leaf.
Wow. Have you, is that something, like, is that a good way to sort of get over your meal, like, sort of lethargy after digesting?
It must be if it makes you high. Like, if it was, like, something my, like, grandmother used to, like, eat after each
meal.
Right,
right, right.
Like, a little bit high, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I like any, you know, local itis treatment.
Right?
Because,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
In Japan, like, all we say is, like, if you fall asleep, you'll turn into a cow. But there's no, like, where's, like, our beetle leaf? To fight the transformation into a cow.
I feel like you must have
something. Cocaine, right?
Yeah, yeah, just drinking coffee. Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, people love drinking tea and coffee and things like that. But as a kid, I would just be like, sleeping. Give me my coca leaves or I'm not going to wake up.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated? I got really excited about the cotton candy grapes. Have you heard of these?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wait, is they taste like it? Is that the deal? I saw the term trending, but I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Not grape cotton candy. Uh-huh. It's cotton candy grapes. It's grapes that taste like cotton candy. Not
have you had
versa.
Them, Jack?
I have. They're very
what
good.
What do you think?
I like
very
them.
Good.
Good. I just got them for the first time from Trader Joe's, and I think not enough people are talking about them.
Yeah.
I'm going to say underrated.
So they're usually a white grape, right? Like a green grape. And they just bred them to have
this, like, flavor profile?
Incredible amounts of sugar. Just like the most sugar
A
fruit has ever had concentrated in it. Which a lot of people, like, one of my favorite underrated facts about just the world is how much of our food was, like, designed by people, farmers, over the years, just through selective, you know, breeding and agriculture. And yeah, they can design anything just using, like, picking the ones that
these
have
damn phenotypes and stuff.
These damn phenotypes.
Hey,
you know,
man,
what I'm saying.
Hey, that's what we do with the weed, bro. It's how we get those killer ass buds, dude.
Seriously.
But bro. Is the experience, Taz, you went, okay, I'm going to hear about it, let me get it, and you enjoy, did it blow? So you're saying it's underrated because it just blew your fucking mind?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that more, I mean, like, I did hear about it on NPR like a year ago, but mm-hmm. I'm really excited. I should say that I haven't had sugar in like 3 months because I've like got sugar out of my life.
Okay, So you were seeing stars and shit.
I was like, oh my God, this is, if I can't have sugar, I will have the cotton candy flavored grapes. You know, they also have gummy bear flavored grapes, which I was really confused by, because is it like grape gummy bear flavored grapes? Or
gummy bear isn't a flavor.
Right. So I was like in this infinite
consistency.
Loop.
Yeah.
Can I get, are these only available at TJ's or?
No, they're at Whole Foods too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So anywhere they're not paying people.
They're just like sporadically
worker
available.
Rates. Okay.
Right.
Everybody everybody fucking suddenly forgot. I'm still every day I'm reading about every supermarket, whatever, Aldi, the owner of Trader Joe's, being like, I'm sorry, bro. That was, we told you it was a couple months. Oh, right. Yes, the numbers are getting worse. Oh,
so
it's worse than before. But
what groceries are paying essential workers?
I don't know who is, actually. I mean, you'd feel like we would hear about, because I know Kroger, they keep dipping in and out of the bullshit. I know Whole Foods is like that, too. I just read something about Trader Joe's. Yeah, it's like, again, like, there's so much in front of us right now to be like, I think this is a good time to draw the line and say, if you work at a supermarket and you are what we call an essential worker, that this is the minimum pay. Can we make this a law?
But seriously.
There's another story too. I think at the Washington Post, someone else that was sort of talking about some emails they recovered about, like, the lobbying effort in, like, states like Florida and stuff, like, where you're seeing the lobbyists for the Chamber of Commerce, like, emailing directly to the governor and being like, hey man, look, here's the deal. We got to make sure there are legal protections for these employers first before we even talk about reopening. Then we can talk.
Florida.
Like, it's just, you know,
it's awful.
It's always someone else writing the laws.
You see the law firms that are already working with the GOP on, you know, invalidating mail-in ballots got PPP loans?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Ugh. Gotta take care of. Got to take care of the essential workers.
I mean, if Devin Nunes' case about the Twitter cow is any indication of the kinds of legal minds the GOP is able to wrangle around for, like, their on its face completely, like, meaningless lawsuits that are just, like, slow shit down, I think it'll slow things down. I don't know how interesting the case will be, because even, like, the Supreme Court decision with the Trump administration, just like, yeah, the DACA thing, like, you just didn't even use, like, a legal argument. You just ended it. So, like, I don't know what you think we were going to do. Like, this is still kind
and
of a court.
With the tax documents, too. Yeah. You still, like, laws are still a thing.
You
never
know.
So unfair to me.
There's so many judges they've been stacking the courts with that you'll see, like, because I'm sure that a lot of people have been talking about how some states will try and certify the Republican Party will try and certify their own results before the Secretary of State, like, in a state like Michigan or something where it's their Democrats hold those positions. But brace yourself.
It's going to be such a shit show.
I'm not looking forward.
No.
It's, I mean, they stole, like, even though I think Bush did end up having the more votes in Florida when they did the, like, very careful recount, like, that had nothing to do with why they won. They won because they had more better lawyers just outlasted the Democrat lawyers. And were shrewder, which we have seen time and time again. Like, they have an insurgent mentality because they don't have the actual populace on their side. So they know how to cheat. They've been doing it for years.
Yeah,
and
for years.
They're better at it. Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
I'm going to say Kanye West running for president.
Come on. Have you seen his platform?
Did you hear his three presidential freestyles he dropped on Forbes?
I did not.
Oh, well, if you didn't,
would that change my mind?
If you didn't vote for him now, you definitely won't now after hearing that shit now. But yeah, it's dark.
Elon Musk.
That was my favorite.
Has backed out of supporting him after being like,
Full support. You got my full support. And someone's like, you know, he's like an anti-vaxxer and like anti-abortion. He's like, I guess there are more differences than I had anticipated. I must reconsider. It's like, sure.
So good.
At a certain point, if you're like, hey, you're a billionaire, I'm a billionaire, like, we're cool dudes, like, then we have the exact same worldview, right?
And I work in the world of politics. Just the whole, like, he hasn't actually got the signatures in the right state.
No deadlines met.
Yeah,
no.
None of it. So it's just like, you know, toy.
It's a potential, you know, write-in chaos Harambe type candidate.
Yeah.
You know, like time people wrote in Harambe.
That's right.
Kanye West may be that, but don't get it twisted. If you, and any listeners out there, if you hear a young person even pretend to act like they will vote for him, smack the out of them.
Yes, slap please. Them.
And be like, you're
like
throwing
that we
your vote
all
away.
Had the same,
yeah, smack
the
same
thought.
Shit.
Smack
them.
Yeah. I was just picturing a young person being smacked so hard the vape comes out of their mouth. You know?
The three stripes come off their Yeezys. But the whole, it is really something. I mean, there's also reports, you know, that now his family, like, he's having another episode because he isn't taking his medication. And, like, I mean, the things that he's saying, you know, are not real political views. There are a lot of just emotional things, and he's just sort of free associating and what they call interviews. But again, you'd hope that every time we've been talking about him, I think since like the second MAGA thing, we're like, okay, this man needs help, and he's just not getting it.
Yeah, he absolutely needs
and
help.
And he just continues to be allowed to operate and has a group of enablers who are like, funny. Yeah, dude, that was fire. Yeah, that was fire, dude. The way you said you're going to run for president, that was fire, dude. That was fire. Yeah. Don't worry about your meds. They make their creativity is stifled. I think that's one of the reasons why he said he doesn't take it. So it's just tough. And I, you know,
there's so many very creative people who take the medication that is prescribed to them. Like you have to, I don't know. That's a myth.
I think
I'm going to throw in there.
The very least, you know, these, like, Forbes should know. But again, this is why the media, you know, they need to have the interview where he sounds like he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's saying that vaccines are trying to prevent your child entry to heaven, that's what it is. Like, it's all about this, like, satanic versus Jesus, God kind of thing. But Forbes gets to do it, and they get all the traffic because they have, like, these three quote-unquote freestyles where he's just, like, it's just saying shit rhythmically.
Yeah. And finally, what is a myth? What is something you know to be false that people think is true or vice versa?
I would say a myth is that mouse traps work. Because mouse traps do not work. I have like a gazillion of them around my apartment. And yeah, that mouse was not getting caught in any of them.
But you I'm asked so us to caught. Call you the human mousetrap when we started this call, right?
Right.
That I did it, you just though. Grab them with your bare hands and snatch them up.
Beat it off. No.
Just Ozzy Osbourne, but the mouse version.
That is.
I've been dealing with mice for. You know, like I've had mice in my apartment like once, like 4 years ago. But ever since the pandemic started, there's so many. There's the infestation of pests is just through the roof. I heard, you know, because of the pandemic, mice don't have food to eat. So they're just kind of going to all these apartments.
That was the, the big story in New York those first 2 weeks were like the literal rat wars that were happening in Manhattan. Because like once the food dries up, they go in search of other food and then they turn up on some other rat turf and it's rat war.
Yeah.
Apparently Koreatown is like New York.
Right.
Which, yeah.
It is kind of like New York. It's probably the closest thing we have.
Oh, just sort of like with like more high rise like apartments and like sort of like that architecture. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having some battles with the flies. The flies are coming in. I got Lord one of those flies over here. Electrified fly swatters.
Busted it out.
Yeah.
She pulled out. That's just fun.
The tennis
mine's called
racket.
The executioner.
Wow, I didn't. And it comes with a hood that you just put over your head.
Who would have known? Great marketing. Yeah.
Fucking Serena Trilliums over here, ready to fuck these flies up. Yeah, I like the salt shotgun. That one is more. Yeah. That one's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that just like basically like you cock it once and it just. I mean, it's probably the least humane because it's just like destroying their wings, like with the buckshot of like the grains of salt. But this is the world we're in right now. So
I have not seen this. So I'm Googling it right now.
Yeah, like look for it's like I don't know, fly salt shotgun.
That's one that I've never successfully got a fly with.
The bug assault, as it's called?
The bug assault.
It's probably made by some fucking former Blackwater child murderer, so I should probably not even talk about it. Like, I can't imagine the backstory to a thing where a guy's like, what if you applied the principles of buckshot in a shotgun that you could just, you know, use at home and kill a fly with, man? Because that shit is cool on an insect.
Do you have one of these? Do you have the holster?
No, I had it like at an old office and at another apartment I had like someone had it and I would use it, but I now at the moment I am bug assaultless. I try and use either my bare hands or a towel.
Oh, of course.
The bare hand one is like Jack said, that old Clyde Frazier anecdote, man was so cool, caught a fly with his bare hands and then let it go. Mm-hmm. And I always try and impress my partner, Her Majesty, with it, and she just thinks it's so stupid. I'm like, I caught it with my hand. Did you see? And she's
like, you do catch it with your hands?
Oh, yeah, I can catch a fly with my hands.
With one
I
hand?
I cannot.
Yes. I can catch
it. Damn, you are cool,
But here's the thing. Watch me spend fucking 45 minutes listening to Bodega Boys in my headphones, like running around my house like an idiot. So it's not like I just come in and snatch shit out. She's like, yeah, fool, you wasted half a day. And also, go outside and release your hand. I bet you didn't get that shit. Cut to me opening my hands. I didn't get that shit.
My friend's wife made fun of him one time for doing the thing where, he would like grab it and then like release his hand very slowly and like there wouldn't be anything
there.
Oh, I've done that so many times. Walt Frazier from the 1970s Knicks, one of the more underrated NBA players, and the most underrated announcer because he's just absurd.
Right.
But he would just walk into a room and slowly reach out and grab a fly, shake it in his hand, release it. And he was like, and kids thought that was cool. I was like, I think that shit's cool as hell, man. Like, that was in one of his books of like how to be cool. It's like, man, not everybody can do that. You the understand? 70s,
yeah. And also, nobody has a fucking like hand span of like 14 inches. Probably right. Like he did. Like,
that's
don't
true.
Discount the size of an MB. Like any man over 6'3" or 6'4" hand size, it gets out of control.
Yeah, yeah. That was one thing that I feel like was. I hadn't fully appreciated about Jordan until the last dance was just hand size. Like his hand just reached all the way around that ball.
Right.
Also, flies in the 70s, notoriously slow.
Yeah.
we wouldn't know, actually. That's one of those things that we would have no idea if flies were speeding up.
It turns out that the guy who created the bug assault is from Southern California, is a surfer and yoga enthusiast.
What?
Oh, hell yeah.
And he's just like an inventor, basically. But I don't know. I don't need to do much of a deep dive into this kind of thing. I feel like all roads lead to darkness.
Tune in tomorrow when that guy's our guest.
I feel like you really need to invest in one of these racket smiles.
I know, but...
they're good
I feel
for
like every time there's one of those arounds, people end up hitting each other with them.
Oh, I've never done that before.
Oh, that's where shit goes left with those electric rackets. You start smacking people with them. But it's not that
I've managed not to hit anybody with mine. Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean intentionally. Like, it turns into a drunken game of I'm going to wave the electrified tennis racket at you.
Right.
Does it hurt?
Yeah. I'd imagine it does.
It,
the spark is you know so satisfying, though. So when you hit the fly with the electric tennis racket, it, like... You hear a loud pop, which is like what killing flies should always feel like. There should always be a loud pop, like you're popping a balloon. And then you get, sometimes it'll stay on the racket.
Yeah.
And you just get it sparking.
So fulfilling. Yeah. So good.
Well, because, I'm not doing it like needlessly to torture the fly. It's actually like, sometimes you'll hit the fly with the shock. It'll hit the ground. And if you don't like go and get the tissue right away to come pick it up, it'll get back up. It just like stuns it for a second.
Ah, right. But if it gets flies stuck in there, it starts smoking, and then you get your little glass tube out. You start freebasing that smoke off. Right?
Oh, so gross.
fly smoke.
Sorry, I don't know.
That's so gross, but
just hearing the two of y'all be like, yeah, and then that shit gets smoking. I'm like, okay. I thought I was bad when I was like, I'm shooting the shit out of their wings and they're fucked up. It's all everyone has a weird way of dealing with insects, you know.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's take a quick break and come back and talk Hamilton.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X.
Visit TomboyX.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and guys, Hamilton is back in the zeitgeist. 4 years after it was kind of at its peak, it was just hitting Broadway. They filmed a movie version of the play, which is pretty much just like a wide shot on the stage with some close-ups here and there.
There were a couple where they definitely had a camera up on stage, you know, to get some dramatic. Yeah,
came in a little tight.
Yeah, came in a little tight.
What was you guys' experience with Hamilton at the? Well, go ahead, Tess. What were you going to say?
I have avoided Hamilton for the past 4 years completely.
Me too.
Up until this point where I watched it last night.
Me too.
Okay. For you guys. I did it for you guys.
Thought.
I knew it was big. But like every musical that comes out, I just don't care because I'm the genre of musical does not appeal to me personally. Like I understand, I totally understand its appeal because they are like, it's a nice experience to watch it, but that's not how I get my jollies. So I'm just like, all right, fine, cool. Like it's hip hop, great, but I don't watch musicals. So thank you. But it coming back now and it being like, it just used to be a thing where like you had to get a ticket to go see it. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. And like all the people I knew who were like, I'm going to Hamilton. I'm like, I don't really have that much in common with y'all. So shout out to y'all. But like, so on that level,
it was enormous with people who subscribed to the New York Times and listened to Crooked Media podcasts. Yeah. I feel like
it was the dad from Get Out's favorite musical.
Yeah, it was enormous with other people too, though. Like my little sister who is not into politics and American history was really into it. And I'm just like, I'm so confused by that.
I think that's more like the perception that it was only big with people who go to Broadway plays, but like kids, it is like a Harry Potter level phenomenon with younger kids. Like younger kids really fuck hard with it.
Yeah, but I think, and that's to its credit, because I remember the thing that I noticed was it was more people than normal. Like usually there was the musical set or people who like theater who I would hear talk about it. And then it reached like a tipping point when I was like, you've never even been to a fucking theater. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
And then so I was like, okay, I'm sure the music is good, but it just sort of ended. My curiosity ended there because there's something about a musical, man. I just can't get into it.
It's embarrassing.
It's weird. Yeah. I don't mean to be like it's like you're dumb for liking a musical. Like to me, there's just something about a production, the sort of like seamlessness between like drama then to like these big sort of like numbers, like the flow, like dramatically is a little like wonky for me. And I think that's also because I can't just put like that suspension of disbelief about like how a musical even operates when I'm like, these motherfuckers just wouldn't start singing.
Right.
Like, but that's like,
well, in this case, they never stop singing. So you can kind of get through. So
I don't know. I feel like I just feel like I had a really hard time. Like, I had to have the Wikipedia entry open so I could follow along with the summary. And then I had subtitles on. And I just think that when the music is going and there's words, I was just having a hard time following along. I was like, wait, what's happening? There's so much happening.
Yeah, there is a ton happening. It is like a little Shakespeare-y in the sense that like it's the language is highly affected. And so like you need to probably like hear it a couple times to like fully understand what's going on. I actually think the listening to the soundtrack is an ideal way, because then you're not distracted by what's happening and you get the entire story with just the soundtrack. So I recommend that to people who don't feel like sitting down and watching a thing. Like, the soundtrack tells you the whole story.
I think it's worth watching, though. I think don't
for sure.
Don't like, if you're going to engage with it, you might as well fully see like the actual production, because I think this, you know, the reason it's back up and it's just interesting, I think this is probably where most of the bulk of our conversation is going to be about, is that like it came out in 2016 or like that was its peak. And there was a certain level of discourse or public consciousness around what anything meant back then, where this was like
fun
and very neutral and great. Yeah. We love it. Cut to now. It's coming back out again, and a lot of people who haven't seen it are seeing it and were like, okay. And there was valid criticism of it back then, more about like its historical accuracy and its depiction of like women and the characters within that and what it meant to, what like there were no people of color in it, like in terms of historically represented, aside from like a wink at Sally when there's like a Thomas Jefferson joke. But that was the thing that I found myself, I'm like, man, this is gonna be stupid. And I'm like, damn, the fucking music's good. The fucking, like, the production itself is good. I completely understand why it connects with anyone who watches it, because it's like hard to not like the performances are great, the numbers are great, but I think that's where the danger is more like if we just take Hamilton as being like a historically accurate anything.
Right. I think it's really a piece of the moment of the Obama administration and like how liberal people wanted to think about America as Obama was kind of coming to power. And in fact, he first performed, like, it took him a couple months to write the very first song that's like the, you know, beginning of his life. And he went to the White House, Obama's White House, and performed that. Like, that was the first anybody had heard of the what eventually became the play. But so it is. I feel like it's kind of inextricably tied to the Obama administration and
for sure.
that sort of sensibility. But I also think like that it didn't bother me as much. Like, there are definitely parts where, like, the fact that we're watching and rooting for the guy who created America's banking system is, like, on the one hand, sort of fucked up. Because, but on the other hand, it is such early stages, and who the fuck knows, like, you know, what would have happened if he hadn't, like, whether that needed to happen to make America, you know, have any of the good things that it has. But yeah, the slavery stuff is really, like, kind of glossed over for sure.
Because, I mean, the Schuyler family were slave owners. And
Hamilton
definitely had a hand in employing slaves. You know, there's not a lot to say whether he was fully anti-slave. I mean, it can go both ways, but it's, you know, there's like a moment where he's, like, taking shots at Thomas Jefferson for, like, being a slave owner. It's like, bro, you're booed up with a slave-owning family. Like, you, slaves work for you. Like, you're up in it. You worked on a slave ship as a child, okay? If, like, we're going to go way back. And even, like, George Washington, like, it's like, you're not even... Hold on, your boy George Washington also... The man has slave dentures. But
right.
Yeah. But again, this is the thing. It's like, I get it because as a musical, like, how are you going to get, you can't really take anything. I think that's the problem with doing a musical about anything historical, because like there's a lot of probably deep, deep societal implications and ramifications, like of course, the material you're doing versus like, it's not just about like Steve Bartman who fucked up the Cubs' chance to go into the World Series, like very narrowly. Like, yeah, like maybe you could fuck around and tell that a different way, but like, a country.
Wait, is there a musical about that?
Yeah. No, but that would be do the Bartman. Oh, yeah. do the Bartman.
Oh, that's great.
But I mean, like with this, we're talking about the founding of a country that was built on racism and the concept that landed white men were the only holders of power or agency in this country. Like, that's a little murky to try and like sing and dance around a little bit.
Yeah.
I want to say like, All of these criticisms are true. I still give it like 5 stars. It gets me every time.
Yeah.
Like it as a piece of work, it, you know, you have to go in just from a critical standpoint, you know, watching a movie that is actually just a play. Like you have to like the whole point of a play is that you're taking interiority, like what's happening inside people's minds, and like exploding it across a stage so even people in the back can see it.
Right.
So like, it's not subtle. Like the performances are not like the same movie performances that you would typically think of as a good movie performance, but they're still like great performances. The guy who plays Burr is
Leslie
so
Odom
fucking
Jr.
great. Leslie Odom Jr.
Oh, he's so good.
So
that's
damn
what's
good.
Wild though, because I, again, musical hater, but like I would be lying if I didn't say there are songs that like I really didn't like. And I think that's what's interesting about it, is because if you can take all the detail out and like the songs and the musical numbers and the production, like, yeah, it absolutely deserves every plaudit it gets as a musical production. And, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda himself said, because as this was coming back and people were like, have y'all actually seen Hamilton? Like, this is kind of interesting there. He was basically saying like, yeah, man, it was a long time ago. Like trying to deal with something this complex and put it in a 2.5 hour musical. Like, yeah, you're going to miss a lot. And he's like, so this is all fair game. Like all this criticism is fair game. So, I mean, credit to him. And I think that's why it's not. While I have many criticisms of the historical accuracy, I'm like, if I treat it as this musical, fine. If I want to go back further, like, you know, because I believe he was working with a historian who was a white male historian who was like, you know, seen as like an expert on Alexander Hamilton for the historical things. And even in that man's writing, there isn't a lot of references to the people of color that actually existed around him. And even the contributions of black people of color during the revolution, like fought on the side of the Patriots. So it's also weird too, because then you're like, well, but the cast is all people of color, but you're still telling the story of white people just with black and brown bodies. So but there's no reference to actual people of color who also have historical significance. So that's when like, you start getting a little like wound down about how it could have been more, but that's where it's like, what can we actually expect? That's where I'm even thinking, I'm like, what can I even expect from a musical? Because a musical isn't the place where, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda's gonna sit down and like, there's gonna be a whole musical about how George Washington's dentures were pulled teeth of African slaves. Like, that's really not the stage for that.
That's the next musical.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it could be. Maybe he'll learn from this. You know, like, I mean, the way this musical came about is he read this biography by, I think, Chernin, I think is the guy's name, that was like a bestseller about Alexander Hamilton. And Lin-Manuel Miranda read it on vacation and came back and was like, yo, this is a dope story that I think a lot of people would be interested in, and just started like adapting it. So it's not like a thing where he set out to make a broad political statement. Like there are some issues with this that are purely like the Wayne's Worldification of like where it became so successful and it connected with such a broad swath of the population that it like can't possibly be cool anymore. Like the fact that the room where it happened has become a phrase used by John Bolton in his like book about the Trump White House is like, yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, Dan Quayle having a book called Schwing or something after the Wayne's World became like the number one movie of pop culture ever. It's just, it's not, you can't really help that. And you also like that, I think, applies to the purpose and thesis of the play. Like, I am definitely interested in seeing what he makes next. Although I know it takes like a long time to write these things.
It's like 6 years or something, wasn't it? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's really good at, I don't know if y'all have seen Moana, because that's a...
Is he in it?
It's a movie I've seen many times because my kids love it. I probably would not have seen it otherwise. But he wrote the music for that. And
oh, wow.
The lyrics are great, but like I think he's at his best when he's like writing lyrics to not rap songs. He has a good like musicality to it. Like my favorite songs in this play are the non-rap songs.
Mine are the truly non-rap songs, in that it's You'll
By
Be Back.
Yeah, the King.
That was like
dope.
The one, and that's what's funny. That motherfucker was hamming it up the most.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I, meanwhile, I'm here like, I don't really fuck with musicals. And I'm like, da 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 da. I'm like, yeah, man, this shit go. Like, but other ones, I'm like, the room. I mean, they're all like that. That's like, it's truly, it's really something else, because to experience it, and you know, like, this guy really synthesized a lot of historical shit and tried to just fucking turn it into colloquial things we can understand now.
Yeah,
I think is impressive. So that's why it's like, you kind of, it's hard to really have a real opinion on this, because it's either I don't think it's fair to just say like all the historical inaccuracies negate it as a musical, because like it's objectively, as music and like as compositions, they are really, really good and they deserve the awards. And you know, the other way around, it's not like, well, you have to forget about all the historical inaccuracies because it's so good as a musical. It's just kind of like one of those things. I think everyone should be aware they're glamorizing the founding fathers, which is dangerous water to wade into. But the lyrics, I mean, yeah, look, he's got bars. But he also does well when he has someone who can swoop right in and sing. Like, there's a good balance between Lin-Manuel Miranda's like lack of like really like powerhouse vocality, and then like the way the songs are written, where you'll never just get too much of him doing his thing, where there'll be, you know, these other performers around there like really take it to the next level.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I heard that the newer versions of this play, the Hamilton character sings better. Mm. And that because.
Of course.
<Not him>.
How could he not?
Wait, so no, Hamilton got better at singing?
That's also an awkward one, because like he deserves to be whatever the fuck he wants in this play. Yeah. He wrote the whole thing. The thing that's beautiful about the play, like, burst out of his brain. The writing is the star. It is, like, I feel like I haven't seen the best version of this play because I have only seen it with him in the lead role.
Right.
It's just a little like, you get the sense some of the play might have been written because he has a fetish that involves people putting coats on him. Did you notice how often people are like putting coats on him?
Definitely James Brown, wannabe James Brown vibes.
Yeah, it's like 20 times, but no, it's just, there's something slightly embarrassing about it because, you know, he's putting himself in this role of like, you know, and being surrounded by these incredible physical performers and, you know, vocal performers. And he's not, I actually saw the play in person, and like that was noticeable from my seats way the fuck in the back, he physically like doesn't have the same like physicality that other actors do, and nor should you expect him to, because he's
doing everything.
Yeah, he's doing everything and he's writing and he's not like the best actor in New York like everybody else in the play. But it is just kind of awkward. Like it's tough because I don't think he's ever bad, like where you're like, man, this song is cringe.
But when when David Diggs as Thomas Jefferson or Leslie Odom Jr. as Aaron Burr, like when Thomas Jefferson came back, I was like, bro, is this start this musical up. Get this other motherfucker off the stage. Like, let me hear about Thomas Jefferson. Yeah. So that's like what's funny is that even when you're in awe, like, because you see Lin-Manuel Miranda, you're like, damn, look at this, like, singular, like, this, I mean, he had many collaborators, but, like, you're like, wow, look at this sort of creator on stage doing his thing, and then you're like, damn, look at this performer, though, like, next to him. Like, look at this man, like, out in the end, I was like, yeah, fuck Hamilton, bro. Like, clap that man, Aaron Burr. Like, fuck that. Like, I'm rooting for you because I was so connected to the performances of every other person. Renee Elise Goldsberry, the David Diggs, all those people.
Yeah.
I can remember like moments I would feel like I would watch that part again. There weren't many that involved Lin-Manuel Miranda's like his own performances. And that's not a shot at him. And I'm sure he knows he would never say that I'm a better performer than any of those people, but everybody's got their strengths, and his strength was doing that. And like to your point, he deserves to be up there, but I would like to see it with the alternate, you know?
Yeah. Angelica's performance, Philippa Sue's performance. Angelica's not her name. Who plays Angelica Scott? Renee. Yeah.
Renee. Yeah.
That performance and Philippa Sue's performances are fucking great.
Yeah, there's also kind of like they were doing that bootstrapping shit also too. That about like, oh, he's an immigrant, came up here, got to think smarter, try harder, blah blah blah.
Did the song come after the play, or did the play have that line first and then the song came? Because he has that song, Lin-Manuel.
How did a bastard orphan son of a that one?
No, like immigrants get the job done. It's a pop song that he wrote when he had all these, oh my gosh, I should have Googled this before
I think
we
that
started.
Came from the play, because I think that.
So it was like a line in the play, and then like he popularized it?
Yeah,
I think that's right. But I guess even, like, there were these things, like, there were these very American myths, though, still built in it, where, like, founding fathers, they were really, like, hip dudes who you should have seen them dance. They were really cool. That's why this country's so great. I don't know about slavery stuff. I mean, we can talk about that in another musical that I won't watch, but there's that. And then there's like this bootstrap thing of, you know, that's all you need, kid. Just be a little bit smarter. Don't worry about any of the systemic oppression you may experience along the way. Just get your bootstraps all.
I mean, he just put a pencil to his temple, connected it to his brain. That's all it took.
How it all happens. Okay, I have a question for you all. Like, did it feel different watching it 3.5 years into the Trump administration?
Yes.
Yes.
Because
absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Is like I watched it and I couldn't. I'd have to constantly remind myself that like I can enjoy what I'm seeing rather than immediately being turned off. But like, man, this is how fucking America started. Bro, get this shit off my screen.
Right, this isn't
what it is. This is fucked up and a misrepresentation. There's total erasure of contributions of people of color to this actual historical event, and they're excusing it by having people of color out there performing it. And I think, but that's where everyone is saying, like, we're in a different mindset now.
Yeah, different
era. I mean, I think probably just because I like history, I probably would have been like, nah, okay. But the music, I also like music, so it's good. But it definitely, like, there were times it was getting me thinking a lot about like, what are they saying? And I'm like, that's not much more than I probably would have. Yeah. 4 years ago.
Yeah. I kept thinking about like how, I don't know. There was like a line about, oh my gosh, I think it was probably around voting rights, right? This week where Trump was saying that voting is a privilege and not a right. And the Constitution says that voting is a right for all people. And so I was just thinking about that in context with this musical.
Oh,
just
interesting.
That there's, you know, we have a president, like the play, I don't know. I don't want to say it glamorizes the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, whatever. There is like, but just in contrast with a president that actually doesn't give a fuck about anything, anything, that it just kind of felt different. I don't know. I still don't know what I'm feeling about that.
Right.
But I definitely think it would have been different if I watched it during the Obama administration.
I was definitely less, forgiving of a lot of the stuff that they just kind of gloss over. And, you know, they're like, he sure writes a lot. But, like, they don't really talk about, like, what he was writing, which was, like, right. setting up a giant banking system that had tons of power. And, you know, there's people around him who are abolitionists. I think even Eliza ends up being right. an abolitionist, or at least they say she does at the end. And he doesn't, like, he never really does that. I don't know. I was very, like, the fact he's, like, fully complicit in his son's death, like,
right?
Which is something that I hadn't.
Yeah.
Where he's like, yeah, man, like, just what? Go out there, fire that shit at the sky. You can guarantee he's going to be a good dude in this gunfight you're going off to get in. Here, take my guns to the gunfight.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's what is, like, his redemption. I don't know, man. I still, like, that fucking kills me. Like, that scene.
Yeah, that's awful. It was
absolutely
like,
murders me.
Yeah, it's. Nah, well, I mean.
And then when he gets killed, does not murder me quite as much.
No, even with the slow mo, I was like, all right. Yeah.
Rise up.
Can we get the king back up there to do da 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 again one more time? Because I like that. And again, we should talk about, because that was probably the most talked about moment in the entire thing in terms of conversation around people watching Hamilton on Disney Plus, was the spittle that ends up on his mouth.
Oh, I did not see this.
During the You'll Miss Me. I was watching, I don't know, too close. I don't know what it was, but
it
I think
it is obscene.
It there's like one line he says where it, you know, shoot, you were in the splash zone spout. At SeaWorld.
Here, Miles, we have to take a quick break.
Anti-coronavirus.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Let's hook him with that. Let's hook him with that. Guys, we're going to talk about the spittle. But first, we're going to take a quick break.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women. Creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bye. I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And yes, yeah, you guys were saying, the spittle is like just obscene to be watching in the middle of a pandemic where
oh my gosh.
Just that is unthinkable to be in that crowd as that dude does that. Which is, I think, like, I don't think that's unintentional. I think that's part of the performance, right? He's like trying to be like very
I'm sure. I don't know anything. I'm reading now. It says that
John, I'm gonna have to rewind to this.
He has opened up Jonathan Gross. Wait, what's his name? Groff.
Is that right? Really gross?
Groff. Groff. Johnny
Mindhunters.
He says in an interview with Variety, he was asked about the habit in general, about like the character spitting. And he says, I spit a lot on stage. I've always been a spitter. I start sweating. I just get wet when I perform on stage. It's just what happens.
Wow. Gross.
So Jack, hey, that's, you know, brothers in arms right there. Brothers in sweat.
I noticed that a lot. Like Hercules Mulligan was sweat. And then James Madison was the actor who played both those characters was, first of all, like bundled the fuck up. I don't know exactly why, but was so sweaty. I felt for that dude.
Well, I was not paying attention to any body sweat or mouth sweat or anything. So I feel like I need to rewatch.
I'm always like one of those people,
just
like
paying attention.
When someone's like talking and they spit on you, I'm always like, oh, okay. So like I'm always clocking mouth spit.
Funny.
And so,
you must be really excited about everyone wearing masks now.
No, it doesn't really bother me. I just like, you know, I have an eye for a detail. But the thing he was saying was, he said, this is a quote about how, like, other performances he's done. They said, but those who've seen Broadway's Little Shop of Horrors 2, like, have seen this spitting habit of his. Quote, for the first couple weeks of the run, I felt bad because I'd walk down to the end of the stage in the second song of the show, Skid Row, and I can't help it. I'm just, like, spitting on everybody. And they're either enjoying it, or they're laughing, or they're holding up their programs to block their face. I don't care anymore, but it made me feel self-conscious at first. I'd never been so close to the audience where I was actually seeing the reaction on people's faces while I spat on them.
A splash zone in a Broadway musical.
And
That's funny.
Yeah, it's just so he's brave. He's doing him. Because at the end of the day,
leaning into it.
I can't say a damn thing about his vocal performance. Because he's my favorite song, even with the spit, I'm there for for that.
And
song.
He just completely like owns those moments with just like a couple facial gestures. He's very funny.
Yeah.
The other big moment that people are talking about is at the end when Eliza Schuyler like comes out to the. It's literally the last moment before the lights go down. She is like talking about, you know, what she did with her life after he died, and then like looks out at the audience and like has this like almost horrified gasp. It could be read as horrified gasp, or it could just be read as like emotionally overwhelmed. And people were like, why did that happen?
Does it not happen in the other versions of the show?
I think it does. It's just kind of an interesting like choice that the actor makes at the end of the, or I think it's actually written into the play because all actors who play the role of Eliza do that.
Well, there's like a stage direction too, because there's a spotlight. Yeah. Like it's there. There's another thing saying she explains it. People are like, is it Eliza going into heaven? Is she seeing Alexander? Is she seeing God? What is it? And it's kind of all of those things. Sometimes it's literally I look out and I see the audience and that's what it is. But I think that idea of transcendence is present in all of that. So that's just the gasp is a transcendent gasp.
Like she's seeing the interpretation. Yeah. I read, like, mixed with what you just read, was also the idea that, like, she is seeing across time at the audience, because that whole song and that whole moment is about legacy, and now she's, like, seeing across time, this audience seeing a play about them, and she's, like, overwhelmed by, you know, the fact that their legacy does live on, even though for a long time it was kind of not so much.
It's fun. I think my first time hearing about Aaron Burr was that Got Milk commercial.
Which one?
Where the dude is eating the peanut butter sandwich and he's trying to be like, $10,000 in the famous duel against Alexander. Like, who was the person who killed Alexander Hamilton in the famous duel?
And
the
guy's like,
his mouth is full of peanut butter. He's like, Aaron Burr. He's like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Yeah.
That commercial, the first mainstream hit by Michael Bay.
What?
Transformers?
Yeah, he directed that commercial.
The Aaron Burr Got Milk commercial?
Yeah, he directed that straight out of, I think, film school and kind of put his name on the map.
Wow.
Jesus. To think of, look at all the reverberations from Alexander Hamilton.
Look at that. Right. Who would have known?
It actually, like, I don't know why we're talking about Lin-Manuel Miranda. It's Michael Bay who owes Alexander Hamilton everything.
That's right. I mean, one thing that JM pointed out is that they have two of the three fucks in the play censored.
Yeah.
And he was saying that it's because...
Did it stay in one of them? I thought they censored all of them.
One fuck actually is...
Oh.
I think, or maybe it's the one where he goes, it's my wife that you decided to fuck, you know, and like doesn't actually finish the word.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember like a clear,
I don't remember
crisp
one either.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But he was pointing out that you can actually get away with like three fuck. It's all about context. The only, like the...
You're talking about the ratings, right? Because they did that to avoid it
being
PG-13.
R. Yeah, so they did it to avoid being R. Disney refused to show anything on Disney Plus that's beyond a PG-13.
Disney.
The general rule is that you can only have one fuck in a movie without it becoming R. But that's only if you're using it as a verb in the context of sex. So, like, not surprisingly, this play is not them talking about fucking people, each other. It's just like a colloquial use of the phrase, and Disney still was very cautious about it.
It's a one fuck rule on Disney.
That's
two
right.
Fuck, wait, one fuck or two fucks?
One fuck.
One fuck.
One fuck to, and then if you fuck twice, you're R?
Yes. Mm. Yes. But that shouldn't, that isn't the case. If,
all the time. Yeah. Depending on the context. If, context fucking. Yeah.
Right, like we could get a PG-13 even with our intro where we say fuck the Koch brothers and dozens of people because we're not talking about specifically making love to the Koch brothers.
No.
At least that wasn't the original intent.
One, and in that instance would be necrophilia, technically.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think a lot of parents are watching this with their kids. So I think, you know, I mean, like... I'm conflicted because I recognize that on stage, like, they get to say fuck, but people are paying hundreds of dollars for that experience. But we're in people's homes people are getting access to this.
How did your parents handle when you were kids cursing showing up on something you were watching? Was it like, oh my God, close your ears?
No. TV would go off and I'd be sent to my room. It's
you
very
would
censored
be
in my household.
Right. What about you, Jack?
My dad was very lax when it came to letting me see R-rated movies to the point that I like got kicked out of R-rated movies that my dad like bought a ticket for me to go into.
Oh,
Lethal Weapon.
And like your dad was there with you?
He was, so he took my little sister to see Ferngully.
Oh,
he bought tickets for me and my older sister to go see Lethal Weapon 3. And then the people like rolled in and were like, you got to get out of here,
like,
man.
They fuck Amazing. You at the drive-thru.
But yeah, so apparently Disney Plus, like we've talked about the weird Daryl Hannah butt shot from Splash that they like cloned her hair. So it just looks like there's like a
what
rug of her hair that's like attached to her butt.
It's really bad.
Yeah. And then they apparently blurred out a woman's cleavage on an episode of Wizards of Waverly Place because that was to risque.
Well, we can't have our children know about the existence of female breasts. I mean,
yeah.
Well, then what's next? What's next?
But they
What's next?
Yeah, because children don't by their very nature need to know what breasts are.
It's just so weird. Like, yeah. It's weird when you see these. Like, I really would love to know about these. Like, this puritanical editorial board within Disney Plus, where it's like, are they going off of complaints that go in? Are there a team of people who have to be super buttoned up and be like, no, get this out.
Have you seen this film Is Not Yet Rated?
No.
That documentary about the
NPAA? No, but I know, right.
Yo, you have to watch that. That is unbelievable. And the, you know, NPAA is so often telling on itself when it's like making these rules, because it's always like a woman showing pleasure during sex is the thing that like they object to if a woman is
awful.
Like not having a pleasurable time, like AKA like they're much more lax when it comes to sexual assault scenes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Which is so fucking dark.
Do you know what this reminds me of? When I was, I'm just going to tell a personal story. When I was younger, we lived in Saudi Arabia when I was in junior high. So we were there from when I was 12 to 14. And we brought a newspaper to Saudi Arabia. Like, we came to the U.S. Someone had asked us for a copy of a newspaper because it's so hard to get news there. And this was like in the like 92. And like, there was an ad for Jessica Rabbit. So when we were going through, not an ad for Describe It, but like a Roger
Rabbit. Roger Rabbit,
right.
Yeah. So the immigration officers for Saudi Arabia, they go through the newspaper one by one and they'll black out, they blacked out Jessica Rabbit's body. And they'll just like, you know, censor that way. They'll like either like cover up cleavage or cover up anything like female that body, mm-hmm. even though it was like probably like the New York Times or something, you know, it wasn't Playboy. So that's right. Kind of what this reminds me of when you're talking about, but just kind of like in a cartoon version. It's very Muslim is basically what I'm trying to say. Disney Plus is very halal.
Well, and very much like blaming women for existing and being because if they didn't exist, like we wouldn't have to do, like then we there wouldn't be darkness. This. So just hide everything because it's there. It's like, what the fuck is this?
It's the creeping Sharia of Disney.
Whoa, yeah. I didn't realize Disney spent $75 million
to acquire just the distribution
for Hamilton.
Because
wow.
For Hamilton. Just this like one
wow.
filming of a play that already exists and that you can go out and like see at your local theater when it comes through town. They spent $75 million and they are apparently like happy they did because they saw a 75% surge in subscriptions over the July 4th weekend. And they said it's like a whole new demographic that they hadn't reached before. They weren't more specific than that. So who knows who they're referring to.
Unlike Quibi, baby. Did you see the thing? It was like 92 or 98% of their trial users ended the second the trial.
Oh, really?
It
was over. So yeah. they went from like 900,000 to like 3,000 unfortunate assholes, myself included, who forgot to cancel it in time. But I'm sure that will go down even more. And people are like, fuck, I paid Quibi for $5, blah, motherfucker.
Wow,
that thing's, they're fucked. They're fucked over there.
That's really not good. Well, Tez, it has been a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist again. Where can people find you and follow you?
They can find me at tazistar.me. I have a podcast called Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, but we just ended our show after 5 years, but you can still listen to it.
Hey,
we have archives out there.
So good. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
I mean, we already talked about the tweet that I was enjoying. I really enjoyed Elon Musk's response to Kanye West, where he was endorsing him at first, and then he backtracked really fast. It made me laugh out loud. So good.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray, and also my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. You know, we're talking about 90 Day Fiancé. That's just what it is. Some tweets that I like. One of them is from CJ Toledano, iHeart podcast label mate. He says, I remember working at a Blockbuster right before they closed down and asking if we were getting severance. And my boss was like, no, but you can have like 15 DVDs of whatever movies we have left. And I was like, cool, that works.
Tight. And it was all Titanic. It was all copies of Titanic.
Doing the money phone with Titanic DVD copies. And then another one, another label mate, Molly Lambert at Molly Lambert, just said, should I start an Only Plants? Thinking about
only
that.
Plant.
Only Plants, man.
Tweets I've been enjoying. Dropped Mike tweeted, interviewer, can I get your references? Me, sighing. Probably not. Nobody else does. James Herbert, outside the NBA, as opposed to inside the NBA, tweeted, NBA gossip is now called bubble tea.
Ooh.
So,
I like that.
Oh, I did see that one.
The NBA bubble.
Yeah.
You like bubble tea, Jack? You fuck with the boba?
Oh, I fuck with boba.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's your favorite flavor?
Yeah, there was a good boba.
We got to press them as Asians. What's your favorite, bro?
I know.
There's a good boba truck outside of the Cracker Jacks back in the day. Yeah, I think it was. I forget what my favorite was.
Oh, you sound like a fake ass bubble tea sipper right here. You don't know if
the cheese foam on top and then the little like jelly stuff too.
Yeah. The foam with the jelly is definitely what I remember of bubble tea. would that have been an acceptable answer?
No.
Oh, I like the one that has the foam and the bubbles.
The base flavor. You know what I mean? Like, what's the drink that has the boba in it? What are you sipping on?
Is Vietnamese coffee one?
Yeah, they have that. Yeah. I mean, or like the Thai. I always go taro, okay? I'm taro gang in the building.
I'm
taro?
Almond milk.
Oh,
I think I liked almond milk actually.
I like. Yeah. Oh, I should try that. Yeah, because yes, I do like that almond syrup. Mm-hmm.
And then lychee. Lychee's good too.
Yeah.
Oh, pandemic where we don't get access to boba like that anymore.
So just make our own.
Yeah,
we're truly becoming like our immigrant mothers, where it's like, yeah, I can make that at home. Like, what do you want?
I'm going
to
do it.
We can figure out how to make that at home. I'm like, I don't know if I can make this tapioca at home, but I'll try.
I also liked a tweet by Heaven at Heaven Sent Mel. Tweeted, due to COVID-19, I will not shake hands or hug anymore. You may either kneel or bow to me.
Ooh, good.
I think I kind of like that policy, and I'm going to be instituting it immediately.
Let's see.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today, man?
This is actually going to be from Horace Silver. Okay, Horace Silver is another artist who this man has given us so many samples. He's a hard bop style jazz musician, has played with all of the greats. But this track, again, I'm all about just like textures. The last week was doing a lot of vibes. This is another one. This is Horace Silver, and this track is called Soul Searching. So just get into this. It's a great, great thing. Honestly, any of Horace Silver's work is fantastic to listen to. I think calming music is a good way to start the week, not getting turned up off the revolutionary anthems of Hamilton, because I know it must be nice. That's the other thing about musicals. Like, when you just see, like, these dudes, like, do, like, some hard bars and shit, you're like, yeah, man, fuck, man, this motherfucker got bars. And he's like, it must be nice. And I'm like, wow, that's a hard change of gears, but I like it. Yeah. Ooh. Bars and musical bars.
Serenade, yeah.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this Monday morning. We're going to be back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you guys then. Bye.
Thanks, you guys.
What is the meaning of life? What does my purpose involve? Do we live but to die, or can the puzzle be solved? What have I done up to now? Could it be all done in vain? If my life were to end, what would humanity gain? I'm sure.
soul searching for the real true values. My mind's working, so it's up to me to choose. I've found the meaning of life. I've found my purpose there.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.